So, let's start with a scenario. You are walking down Main Street looking for a place to, grab a coffee or buy a gift.
Right, just a normal weekend outing.
Exactly. And you pass this physical storefront. The windows are totally boarded up. There's like a thick layer of dust on the glass.
Oh, it was a great sign.
Yeah. And there's that faded piece of paper taped to the door that says back in 15 minutes, but it's clearly from like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You don't even try the handle, right? You just keep walking.
Oh, you don't give it a second thought. I mean, human psychology relies so heavily on visual heuristics, those mental shortcuts we use to make really quick decisions.
Right.
A dusty window just instantly communicates neglect, which your brain basically translates as a complete lack of value inside.
The cognitive shortcut is immediate,
Yeah.
but here's where that mental shortcut collides with the reality of consumer behavior in 2026. The data we are looking at is just staggering.
It really is.
Today, 217 million U.S. adults are spending over 2 hours every single day on social media platforms. And crucially, 74% of consumers are directly relying on those platforms to, inform their purchase decisions.
The digital street has basically entirely eclipsed the physical street in terms of daily foot traffic.
Yeah, which brings us to the core problem we are unpacking today. So many local retail businesses have social media profiles that look exactly like that dusty, boarded-up shot.
Like a digital ghost town.
Exactly. They post like a blurry promotional flyer once a quarter, they never reply to comments, and then they stand in their physical stores wondering why foot traffic is down.
Right.
So, okay, let's unpack this. How does a brick-and-mortar retailer actually capture all that digital attention without having to hire, a full-time videographer and lose their soul in the process?
It's the existential question for local commerce right now, isn't it? And the answer, well, it requires completely abandoning the old framework of digital marketing.
For sure. So if you are listening to this, whether you're a business owner analyzing foot traffic, a marketer, or just a student of how consumer behavior continues to mutate, this deep dive is built specifically for you.
Absolutely.
We are dissecting a really fascinating 90-day playbook created by Hearst in the Social Studio. It was designed for the retailers at a shopping center called the Crossroads Carmel. But like, looking under the hood, this document is a masterclass in modern, no BS social media mechanics.
Oh, 100%. And the overarching mantra of the entire strategy is just five words:
Right.
stop interrupting, start inspiring. That phrase perfectly encapsulates the shift. For years, the digital strategy for local business was essentially treating social media like a digital megaphone.
Just shouting into the void.
Exactly. You'd stand on a virtual soapbox and shout promotions. But users have become entirely blind to interruptive advertising. If your content feels like a commercial that stops their scrolling experience, they will swipe past it in a fraction of a second. You have to blend into the feed by offering actual intrinsic value.
So let's break down how a shop actually manufactures that value. The playbook outlines an initial baseline period, phase one. It's really just about getting the foundational engine running before you worry about complex optimization.
Days 1 through 30.
Right. And the required time commitment is surprisingly low. They mandate blocking out a single 90-minute session for a batch shoot to gather raw assets, followed by committing to just 2.5 hours of maintenance a week.
It's an exercise in discipline, not necessarily high volume production. But the architecture of that weekly 2.5 hours is where it really gets interesting.
Is. They structure all the content output through a strict rotation of four pillars: show, tell, teach, and invite. When I was looking at this, the analogy that clicked for me was thinking about psychological reciprocity, kind of like hosting a great dinner party.
I like that.
Right, because if you invite a group of acquaintances over, you wouldn't just stand at the head of the table all night holding up the menu and reading the prices aloud.
You'd end up eating alone very quickly.
Exactly, people would leave. Instead, you sequence the evening. First, you set out a beautiful spread, the plated dish, the ambiance, that's the show pillar. You are just offering visual appeal.
Setting the stage.
Right. Then, as people are eating, you share the story behind the meal, how you met the local butcher or, the history of the recipe. That's the tell pillar. You're giving the brand a human voice. Next, you explain why a specific wine pairs perfectly with the acidity of the dish. That's the teach pillar. You are proving your expertise and transferring practical value to the guest.
And notice the underlying current there. In each of those first three steps, you are actively making a deposit into the consumer's social capital account. You are giving them aesthetics, narrative, and utility.
Which perfectly sets up the psychological mechanism for the final pillar, After you've provided all of that value, you simply look across the table and say, "Hey, could you pass the butter?" That is the invite pillar. And the playbook is absolutely militant about this rule. Invite is the only pillar where a business is allowed to ask the customer for something. Buy a product, attend the pop-up, whatever. By the time you finally make the ask, you aren't imposing.
Right, because you've built up enough reciprocity that the transaction actually feels earned. It's a beautifully simple translation of behavioral economics.
It really is.
But it's important to note how that show and tell content is actually being captured. The data Hearst presented to these crossroads retailers shows a massive divergence from the luxury brand playbook. Highly polished, studio-lit perfection is actually actively underperforming.
Wait, really? The lower production value does better.
Oh, entirely. What is actually winning in local retail right now are human faces. Unfiltered in-store moments, the shop owner talking to the camera, the staff doing inventory.
So we want to see the friction. We don't want a sterile logo.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, social media serves a completely different utility now. It's a vibe check. It is the living storefront window that a consumer peers through weeks before they ever physically visit your town. They want to gauge the emotional temperature of the room.
And that emotional temperature is directly tied to hospitality, which brings us to a really fascinating algorithmic mechanism in the playbook. They require a strict 24-hour reply pledge.
Yes, this is huge.
The playbook advises literally taping a card next to the register to remind staff to clear the inbox twice a day. Every comment, every direct message must get a reply within 24 hours. Now, on the surface, that just sounds like, well, basic polite customer service.
But underneath, it is a pure algorithm manipulation tactic. Social platforms have one singular directive: maximize time on device.
Right.
So if an app observes that a user leaves a comment on your post and you quickly reply to establish a back and forth dialogue, you are keeping that user engaged on the platform. The algorithm measures that.
It basically calculates a hospitality score.
Essentially, yes. The algorithm sees your account as an engagement generator. So the reward isn't just that the specific customer feels good. The platform actually rewards your next piece of content with measurable reach amplification. By replying today, you are buying cheaper organic distribution for tomorrow.
Wow. That makes the 2.5 hour time investment completely mathematically defensible.
Definitely.
So once a shop gets over that initial hurdle of, you know, posting human content and replying consistently, a new problem emerges. You have a great digital storefront, but how do the tourists driving down the coast actually find you?
This is phase two.
Right, days 31 to 60. Here's where it gets really interesting. This is where the playbook shifts into discovery tactics, and frankly, the search data from 2026 blew my mind.
The search is now social paradigm. If a business misses this shift, they are totally invisible.
Yeah, the playbook highlights that since mid-2025, Google has been aggressively indexing Instagram and TikTok captions directly into its primary search results. Meaning, an Instagram caption is no longer just a place to drop a clever pun and an emoji. It is hard SEO copy.
It forces a complete rewiring of how a shop owner writes. And why did Google make that shift? Because the younger demographics, but increasingly just the general public, demanded visual proof over text.
Makes sense.
If someone is coming off Highway 1 and types Monterey wine tasting into Google, they do not want a text-heavy About Us page from a vineyard. They want to see the ambient lighting in the tasting room. Google had to start serving social posts to keep users from bypassing their search engine entirely.
The playbook gives a great practical example of this. If a tourist types Fresh Flowers Carmel into Google, the search results don't just yield map pins anymore. Google serves up actual Instagram posts from local shops like Burst in Bloom.
Right on page one.
Exactly. So to capitalize on this, the playbook requires businesses to build a dedicated keyword bank 5 to 8 highly targeted phrases like Carmel Boutiques or Monterey Gifts. And every caption has to follow a rigid structure. Hook plus middle plus call to action.
Stacked with those keywords and hyper-specific geographic tags.
Right.
Those geotags are critical because they act as primary search filters for the transient tourist traffic. You aren't tagging Carmel for local pride. You are tagging it to intercept the thousands of phones passing through that specific cell tower radius every weekend.
I see the logic there, but I have to push back on the execution for a second. If my mandate is to churn out consistently structured SEO captions utilizing a predefined bank of 5 to 8 keywords, and I need a catchy hook, wait, if we need SEO and fast content, shouldn't we just let AI write everything?
Oh, it is the ultimate temptation of the modern marketer.
I mean, it's 2026. I can build a custom GPT, feed it my parameters, and have it spit out a month's worth of optimized captions in 12 seconds. If efficiency and algorithmic appeasement are the goals, why am I doing this manually?
Because efficiency can actually destroy trust. The Hearst playbook hits this exact assumption with what they call the AI authenticity guardrail card, and they draw an incredibly hard line on what's in and what's out.
Okay.
Purely AI-written captions with no distinct human variants, explicitly out. Auto-posting without a human editing pass, out. But using AI to brainstorm 10 different hook options and picking one, that's in.
But why are fully AI captions out? If the AI includes the keywords, won't Google index it just the same?
It might index it, but it won't resonate. And the platforms are getting ruthlessly good at detecting synthetic resonance. This comes down to the Sprout social data they cite from early 2026, which found that 52% of social users are actively concerned about brands posting undisclosed AI content.
Wow, over half.
Consumers have developed intense AI fatigue. They can sniff out the predictable token generation of a language model, you know, the overly enthusiastic adjectives, the perfect but soulless cadence. Trust is the actual currency that converts a scroller into a physical footstep through your door.
So that brings us to the one-line test from the playbook, which is just brilliant in its simplicity. Before you hit publish, you read the caption and ask, could a customer who knows me read this and recognize my specific voice?
And if the answer is no, you rewrite it.
Period. Authenticity isn't just a buzzword. It's a quantifiable metric that platforms are actively boosting, right?
Precisely. The algorithms are looking for those slight imperfections in syntax that prove a real person is behind the wheel.
Which circles us perfectly back to why that tell pillar we talked about is so vital. Okay, so we've established the baseline. We are acting human. We've tuned our SEO discovery engine without becoming a robot. The next phase, phase three, is the final 30 days of the plan. And this is about scale.
Pouring gas on the fire.
Exactly. But doing it based on strict mathematical signals, leaning into what works using what they call Mossery signals, named after the head of Instagram.
Right, the metrics that actually matter now. Watch time, likes per reach, and specifically sends per reach.
Let's unpack the hierarchy of these signals. Why is a send weighted so much heavier than a traditional like?
Because a like is frictionless. It's passive scrolling. But a send, when a user physically taps the paper airplane icon and forwards your video to a friend in a direct message that requires intent.
It's an active recommendation.
Exactly. It means your content was valuable enough to trigger a private, off-feed social interaction. This is the realm of dark social. Platforms know that dark social interactions are the stickiest form of user retention. If a tourist DMs your restaurant's video to their spouse and says, "Let's go here for dinner," you just generated real-world logistics inside the app's ecosystem.
That is the highest value signal possible. And the playbook dictates that once you identify a piece of content hitting those specific signals, let's say an organic video hits 2,000 views and has really high send rate, that is the exact formula for smart paid ads. Don't guess.
It completely removes the guesswork. You don't build a new ad from scratch and hope the creative works. You take the proven organic winner.
Right. You put a highly targeted, low-budget boost behind it. The playbook suggests just a small $20 to $50 boost for a 3 to 5 day run, but you geofence it tightly. If you are a shop at the crossroads, you draw a 10-mile radius around Rio Road.
Precision strikes versus carpet bombing.
You are explicitly paying to place that proven video onto the screens of visitors sitting in their hotel rooms in Big Sur or Monterey, figuring out their afternoon itinerary.
That's incredibly effective.
There is another layer to the scaling phase that I want to ask you about, the influencer layer. How do influencers actually fit into a local shop strategy? The playbook states that 61% of consumers aged 18 to 34 report being swayed by influencers.
It's a huge demographic shift. But, and this is a massive but, the playbook warns heavily against macro-influencers. Local retail must target micro-influencers, creators with 5,000 to 50,000 followers.
But mathematically, if an impression is an impression, why are we intentionally limiting the top of the funnel? Why wouldn't a local business want a macro-influencer with a million followers to post about them?
Because of the density of the audience and the cost of wasted reach. If you own a cafe in Carmel, you do not care if a macro influencer's post gets 100,000 likes from teenagers in London and Sydney.
Right, they aren't buying coffee tomorrow.
Exactly. Those impressions have zero physical utility for your cash register. A local micro-influencer might only have 12,000 followers, but if 8,000 of them live in Monterey County, the geographic density of that influence is incredibly potent.
The conversion probability is just exponentially higher.
And the playbook's approach to acquiring these influencers relies entirely on playing the long game. You engage genuinely with their local content for 30 days, then you invite them in for a complimentary VIP experience, a free meal, a styling session, and the absolute golden rule. You do this with zero quid pro quo expectation. You do not demand a post.
Which feels risky for a small business operating on tight margins, giving away inventory for free with no guarantee of a return.
It feels risky until you look at the psychology of the creator. When an influencer feels transactional pressure, their content feels forced. But when they are treated to genuine hospitality with no strings attached, the psychological urge to reciprocate kicks in.
They want to share it.
Yes. If they do decide to organically document that experience, the authenticity of that endorsement is worth 10 times a paid placement. Though the playbook is very clear. If the relationship does evolve into a paid partnership later, say a $500 to Tutalkehe fee for a campaign FTC regulations in 2026 mandate explicit hashtag ad disclosures, the transparency is strictly required.
Okay, so as we look at the tail end of this strategy, there was a 2026 trend watch list included that highlights two wild behavioral shifts. The first is the rise of broadcast channels.
Yes, private spaces.
The goal laid out is simply to get 100 subscribers into a private or semi-private broadcast channel on Instagram. Why are we pushing our best customers off the main feed?
It goes back to what we discussed about dark social. The public feed has become exhausting for many users. It's highly performative. People are retreating into private enclaves. Getting 100 of your most loyal buyers into a broadcast channel gives you a direct, unfiltered line of communication that bypasses the algorithm entirely. By 2027, this might rival the main feed.
Wow. The second trend, though, is what really stunned me. TikTok as the new Yelp.
Oh, it is a seismic disruption.
The data indicates that over 60% of product discovery is now happening across TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. But for travel planning, tourists are bypassing traditional review sites entirely.
TripAdvisor is effectively dead for that demographic.
Because they aren't going to read a 5-paragraph essay from a stranger complaining about the parking lot.
Exactly. Why would I read about the ambiance of a restaurant when I can type Carmel restaurants into TikTok and watch a 15-second visual tour? I can instantly judge the lighting, the plating, and the vibe. Video offers cognitive ease. So monitoring the Carmel restaurant search on TikTok is no longer optional for these businesses.
You lose the sale before the customer even packs their suitcase.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? We've mapped out the entire architecture. We understand the four pillars, the SEO mechanics, the AI guardrails. Let's bring this all back down to earth. Section 5 of this playbook is an honest reality check. It outlines exactly what this strategy will do and, more importantly, what it won't do.
It's refreshing to see a strategy document that doesn't promise algorithmic miracles.
For sure. First, the good. With 90 days of discipline, the data shows per-post reach climbs by 30 to 80%. Direct message volume typically doubles.
Largely because consumers realize there is an actual human being on the other side of the screen.
Right. And you do see a measurable bump in foot traffic correlated directly to the days you utilize the invite pillar.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the brutal truths. What does social media not do?
Well, first, it will not reliably produce virality. Going viral is a chaotic mix of algorithm roulette and cultural timing. It is not a scalable business model.
Second, it will not replace the sheer economic force of organic foot traffic on a sunny Saturday afternoon.
And it won't work in 2 weeks. 90 days is the absolute floor to establish the baseline we talked about.
And I think the most important disclosure they make is this. Social media will not compensate for a mediocre product or bad customer service.
Never. It goes back to the concept of the living storefront window. Social media is merely an amplifier. You cannot scale zero. If the physical experience is terrible, all your beautiful SEO-optimized captions are going to do is broadcast that terrible experience at scale.
It just accelerates your reputation.
Yeah.
For better or worse. So winning on social isn't about having the cleverest, most avant-garde strategy.
Not at all. The core takeaway from the entire playbook boils down to a willingness to execute the mundane. It is having the discipline to do the boring 2.5 hours every single week for years. It is about showing up as a human being rather than a brand.
It's the ultimate irony. To you listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the 90-day Crossroads Retail Playbook. We hope you feel equipped to, you know, audit your own digital storefront windows and review your keyword banks today.
And as you think about how to apply this, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. We discussed how the absolute highest premium in 2026 is placed on content that looks like it was just shot by an iPhone in good light.
Right.
So consider your own operations. How much of your expensive, highly polished corporate marketing is actually actively working against you? If imperfections and natural light are exactly what trigger trust in the human brain, perhaps the most radical business strategy you can deploy tomorrow is simply allowing your customers to see your brand's unedited flaws.
Because maybe a perfectly clean, sterile window isn't nearly as inviting as a store where you can actually see the real people inside.
Mm.
Keep diving deep, everyone.